Warning, this podcast contains spoilers and explicit language. Listener discretion is advised.
Watch a few movies, take a few notes.
You was fun.
What's up, Goreheads, and welcome to another episode of the Extreme Horror Replay Podcast. And if you remember a little bit ago, well, actually, it'll be a long time ago now, in my Instagram stories, I put a post that asked for the most vile and disgusting movies that you could come up with. The only catch was you had to come on and talk about it with me. My second Insta guest that answered that question was Mark from a podcast on Elm Street. I have Mark on the phone. Mark, how you doing?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. So, well, I'm just going to let you say it. The movie you picked was what?
So I saw that post and I had another movie in mind, but then I was like, fuck, I don't want to talk about that one. So then I ended up saying Sallow or The 120 Days of Sodom.
Yeah.
And, at that time, I hadn't seen the movie, like, fully. I'd only seen bits and pieces of it and heard about it. And, yeah, man, I really wish I would have picked a different movie.
Yeah, this one was a rough one, for sure. Fair warning here. Well, first of all, Mark, fuck you for making me watch it.
Hey, I'm fully with you, man.
and second of all, fair warning, you know, because we're doing vile and disgusting movies, there is going to be a lot of graphic descriptions of some very nasty stuff in this podcast. So, warning be taken. There will be spoilers. There will be graphic descriptions of disgusting stuff. And, you know, that's your fair warning. But before we dive into the movie, before we dive into the disgustingness, Mark, a couple questions. What's your horror history? Where'd you get into it? How'd you get into it? What was your start to the horror movies?
I've kind of talked about this a little bit on our show too, but like I started watching horror like way too early. It was like behind my mom's back kind of thing. Like I was less than 10. I don't know how old I was exactly, but I was watching movies that I shouldn't have been watching.
Right.
Actually, in the episode that we just recorded, I mentioned that there's three movies that I can remember watching at a very young age, and that was A Nightmare on Elm Street, the original Pet Sematary, and the original It, like, miniseries kind of thing. I can't remember which one I watched first, but it was those three that were, like, kind of the stepping stones to my horror, or my love of horror, I should say.
All right. So, yeah, that seems to be the case with a lot of people, is that they, you know, they kind of sneak around their back or sneak around their parents' backs and watch these movies. And, you know, it's kind of funny to hear where they got their start. And, you know, all the guests that are on the show here, I always ask them, and it's different for everybody. But the one thing that seems to be, what's the word I'm looking for? The one similarity between most stories is that, well, you know, I snuck down and they were watching a movie and I was watching it too behind their backs. And,
yeah,
you know, I'd go out to a friend's house and I was watching these movies with the friend and it just got me hooked. So, okay. Second question. If you had to kill any character in any movie, your choice, how would you do it?
Do I have to name the characters too, or just anybody?
No, I mean, character doesn't matter. Just any character from any movie, or, you know, if you were making your own movie, I guess, let's say, how would you kill one of the characters, your favorite kill?
I don't know. I'm a big fan of, like, the Saw traps, like, because Jigsaw doesn't actually kill the people himself. Like, he kind of lets them have the opportunity to save themselves, and if they're incompetent or they can't do it, then they end up dying.
Right.
So, like, I'm a big fan of the traps. So I think I would probably try and rig one of those up, I guess. I'm not as smart as Jigsaw, I don't think, but I could try my best.
All right. All right. And then you're going to hate this question.
Oh, shit.
Chuck from Chuck Goes to the Movies.
Yeah.
Or Daniel from the Creepy Crap Podcast. Who has the better beard?
Chuck.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm sorry, Daniel, but yeah, I'm going to go with Chuck.
All right. Okay. I'll make sure I tag him in this episode.
No hard feelings. They both have great beards.
But, all right. Yeah. So I figured I'd throw that one at you just to make you a little uncomfortable since you made
That's a good question.
You know, you made me watch this damn movie. So, but, okay. So you have a partner, Brooke. And you guys do your own podcast, a podcast on Elm Street. Before we roll into the gross nastiness, give a little bit of a story on your podcast. How did you guys get started there?
Honestly, we were, the two of us were at a buddy's Halloween party back in like early October of 2019, so last year. And we were like half in the bag and like just kind of shooting the shit. And then I started putting on like horror movie soundtracks while we were partying. And like some people were getting a little like annoyed by it and they were like, what the fuck are you putting this shit on for? But then Brooke was like, oh man, I recognize this song. Like I love that soundtrack and blah, blah, blah. And then we just started talking about horror movies and stuff. And I was like, dude, like I've been listening to all these horror podcasts and I had started like my own horror Instagram page and whatnot. So then we got talking about like how cool it would be to do a podcast. And like, it seems like everybody that does them is having a lot of fun with them. And then we kind of like finished off the night. We didn't really say too much about it after that. And then a couple days later, I think we started talking about it again. I was like, dude, like I'm all in on this. Like, I really want to try it out. And, so then we kind of sat down and wrote everything out that we wanted to do. And over the months, it's kind of changed, obviously, like from whenever we first started. Like we've added new segments in, we've taken stuff out, we're trying out new stuff, and it's really starting to take off, I guess, and like we're having a blast with it.
And that's,
it started off like super stressful because neither one of us had done anything remotely close to this before. Like I had to learn how to like edit the audio. Like I'd never even opened Audacity before. I had no idea what it was.
Same boat here.
Yeah, it's just, so it's been like a learning process over the months, and now we're finally, like, we really got the hang of it, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're having fun with it.
All right, very cool. And then where can everybody find your not only your Instagram, but, you know, your podcast and everything like that?
Yeah, so we're obviously on Instagram, a podcast on Elm Street, underscores between each word, and then we're on, like, all the major podcasting platforms like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, like, and then all the smaller ones too. There's a couple that we're not on. I don't know them off the top of my head, but generally we're pretty easy to find on the podcasting platforms.
Okay. All right. Well, very cool. So now that the formalities are out of the way, I think we're going to dig into this disgusting movie. And again,
can we just like keep shooting the shit for a little bit?
No. So yeah, again, you know, we are going to give graphic descriptions of just disgusting things. If you've seen this movie, then you know what we're going to talk about. If you have not seen this movie, I don't recommend it unless you have a very strong constitution. But yeah, we're not going to hold back. So fair warning, it will be gross. We are talking about the 1975 Sallow, or 120 Days of Sodom, has a 5.9 on IMDb, and it was directed by Pier Pasolini, who is actually dead, was murdered, from what I understand.
Yeah. Murdered before the movie even released.
And I did hear a little bit of backstory about that, and I guess his murder was quite violent.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, something about getting crushed by a car or something like that, or he was shot and then ran over by a car, and something about having his testicles crushed as well. I don't know if that's true, but you know, very fitting for this movie. So or for being the director of this movie. Now, the movie is based loosely on the writings of the Marquis de Sade, who was also just a twisted fuck. And
yeah,
it's also kind of basically loosed on Dante's Inferno and the Seven Rings of Hell. But again, Salo, 120 Days of Sodom, 1975, 5.9 on IMDb, and directed by Pier Pasolini. Ready or not. So the first thing I noticed was that there was nearly 4 minutes of opening credits, and I could not take it because, like, well, A, the site I was streaming on was, it kept buffering, so
yeah,
it just dragged on. But then we see four men sitting around a table, and they're signing documents. You don't really realize who these people are at first, and you'll come to know them intimately here in a little bit. So, and then we get some boys riding around the countryside on their bikes, and they're stopped by police or the military or something like that. And several of the other boys are rounded up. And then we see four girls taken in as well. They're all taken to one building, like a warehouse or something. Ultimately, nine boys and nine girls are chosen. The four men that we saw earlier at the table were the ones that were doing the picking, and you know, they're making the boys drop their pants and underwear so they can inspect their genitalia. They're making the girls show their breast. You kind of learn that they've been planning and waiting, and for some of these boys, they've been planning for nearly 2 years on how to bring them into whatever's going to happen. And, you know, that right there is twisted and sadistic in itself, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just the fact that they were planning, and, yeah, I mean, it gets a lot worse than that, so.
Like, I want to know, like how they were picking them, like, how did they narrow it down to these, like, nine men, or nine boys and girls, I guess? They're not quite men and women, but...
I think like, it was...
If they're, go ahead.
I think it was almost just strictly physically based.
Yeah, I guess.
Based on their endowments, I guess.
Yeah.
Or maybe they thought they could, you know, like, sway them, maybe? I don't know. You know,
it seemed like they were picking people... That like nobody would miss either, like,
because
they were almost going to like orphanages or something like that to get the girls anyways, or
yeah, that's
that's
probably true to a point. Now I know this is supposed to have taken place after the fall of Italy, or I'm sorry, after the fall of Germany in World War II, I believe. So things, and Mussolini was in power. Or had just come out of power, I'm sorry. And so everything was pretty much in chaos. And they didn't have any way of, like, ruling their streets. It was basically anarchy. So
yeah,
the four men, you come to find out that there's a duke, a president, a mayor and somebody else. I don't even remember the last guy, but
a bishop, I think.
Was it a, okay? There was a bishop. So the four men, you know, they hold some kind of power in the country or in their state or whatever the, you know, it's considered. But now we go to this another room or another house or something, and the girls are brought in one by one to be shown to the four. You know, they have to strip in front of the guys, in front of the four men. And there is a ton of nudity throughout this entire movie.
I think there's more nudity than there is clothing.
Probably. So the girls have to undress in front of these men. And, you know, one girl is dismissed because she's missing a tooth. She smiles at one of the four guys, and he notices that she's missing a tooth. And immediately he jumps up and he looks at her and he says, oh, no, you know, fuck this. You're gone. You know, you're flawed. So now all of the 18 kids are brought to this giant mansion in the hills or the mountains, and they have rules read to them. The first rule is that at 6 p.m. is story time in the Hall of Orgies. At any time, the story can be interrupted for sex or anything else. The purpose of the story is to inflame excitement, they say. The second rule is any boy caught in flagrant delecti, which is sex, with a girl, will lose a limb. And any act of religion or any religious act is punishable by death. And then part one starts, which is the, I think it was the circle of...
manias.
Was it?
Yeah, because there's the anti-inferno, the circle of manias, and then there's two more, but we'll...
Okay.
I'll save the title of those till after.
All right. Inside the mansion, there's these old battle axe looking broads.
That's a good way to describe it.
And so these old battle axes are all painted up and they're dolled up. They got these giant ball gowns on. The first one comes in and she's telling a story. And the story she shares is about how when she was 7 years old, she was forced to pee on a 57-year-old man so he could drink her urine. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, as she's telling the story, one of the four men takes one of the boys with him into a back room, and he's obviously taken for sex or some kind of sexual act or some kind of act of deviance, and he's brought back in because the boy refused to comply with whatever the guy was asking.
And he, like, fucking kicks him back through the door.
He does, yeah. He just gives him a boot to the ass, and the kid kind of stumbles and, you know, falls back into the main room. Now at dinner, nude women are bringing in the food. And like Mark said, there's probably more nudity than there is clothes. Some of the guards are, like, only wearing underwear, and, you know, some of them only have pants on. Mm-hmm. So, this movie just dives so deep into the depravity. So, nude women are bringing in the food. And one is tripped, and then while she's down on her hands and knees, she's taken from behind from one of the guys, and you can't, I mean, obviously you don't see any sexual penetration, but the way she screams, there's either one of two things that happened. Either one, she was a virgin, or two, he put it in the pooper.
Yeah. That's what I got from it.
Yeah. I just thought, you know, I should probably not say that. So either one, she was a virgin, or two, he put it in the back door. So,
this is like the first what the fuck scene for me. Like, yeah. Up until now, I was like, okay, this is really weird and whatnot. But then, like, this scene, I was just like, what in the hell did I pick to watch?
Yeah. You picked this fucker. So now one of the four men stands up and I don't know, this dude looked like he got hit over the head with a baseball bat or something a couple times and knocked a couple eyes loose or something.
This guy, like, I swear Dana Carvey has, like, based a lot of his characters off of this guy. Like, just the faces he was making, like, it just reminded me so much of Dana Carvey.
I would have never made that connection.
Like, he looked like the Master of Disguise.
Okay, I haven't seen that movie in years. Yeah, I would have never made that connection. So he stands up now. He's watching this guy put it to this girl on, you know, on the floor. He stands up and he's asking other boys, because he's obviously excited. So he's asking the other boys in the dining hall if they like his ass. I mean, he literally drops trow and he's like spreading his butt cheeks at them. And, you know, showing his ass to them to try and entice them to boo-foo him, basically. So
he's basically acting like a cat in heat.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah. So he goes back to where the guy and the girl are, and they're like behind the main table, and you only kind of see like their shadow at this point. Yeah. He pulls the guy off of the girl. He kicks her out of the way. And he presents his ass to him to be taken. So the boy that was just doing the girl is now doing him, the crazy-eyed guy. And then, yeah, man, it's just like, it's so weird. And, you know, basically, I mean, you learn right away what's going on. The whole get-together, or whatever you want to call it, was basically formed and decided and made so these four men could get their rocks off in the most depraved and nasty and disgusting way. I mean, they were all libertines. They were very free with themselves. They were very free with, you know, the liquor and the food and the sex and everything else. And it's just, it's so weird, you know. Like, I've read a little bit of the Marquis de Sade writings. But it's just, you know, and the writings go like really far into detail. If you've ever had the chance to look it up, or if you ever get the chance, you know, again, fair warning, it's graphic and pretty rough. So now we go into another hall and they bring in a mannequin, and the whole purpose of the mannequin is for the girls. Now keep in mind, these girls are probably, hopefully they were over 18, but they're all naked. But the whole purpose of this mannequin was for the girls to learn how to jerk off a guy. And so it's so awkward to talk about. So, you know, one girl gets going, she starts on the mannequin, and apparently one of the guards was not impressed with how she was doing it. So he goes over and starts jerking off the mannequin. And he's going, like, just fucking ham on this mannequin dick.
He's going to town.
So, okay, the scene cuts, and then they go back into the main hall. There's, like, a knock on the door or something, and the door opens up, or they open up the door, and one of the girls falls out, and she's obviously had her throat cut. Now, we don't know if she was killed or if she killed herself because of what was going on. But, you know, she falls over and she's dead and she's got, you know, blood on her neck, which is not a big deal.
Because she tried to escape at one point, I think.
Was that the girl that tried to escape?
I think she's the one that, like, ran towards the window.
Okay. So do you think she killed herself then, or do you think she was killed?
I think she was killed.
All right. Because I know, like, she when they opened up the doors, there was, like, a giant Virgin Mary statue or something in there.
Oh, yeah.
So I almost wonder, I'm kind of thinking that she went in there, like, to pray to the Virgin Mary or something. And, like, as a sacrifice or something, she killed herself. Just, you know, because she was in there praying by herself. Because you don't see anybody else come out with her.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I don't know. It could be either one. I mean, it's never specified, and it's not really a big deal. You just, she's dead, and that's all there is to it.
They also said at the beginning, too, that, like, the third rule is, like, no religion.
Right.
Or the second rule or whatever.
Yeah.
So, I found it weird that they had that Virgin Mary statue in there.
It was kind of weird. And, yeah, So, well, geez. Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to think too much on it because I want to erase this movie from my memory. But
A lot of this movie didn't make sense anyways. Like, it's just so all over the place.
Yeah. So now we're back to story time. It's the same old broad from the first story. And she's telling about how when she was 9, she was made to show some old pervert her coochie. He decides that he does not like it, but instead wants her ass. And so now she is forced to show him her ass. And she's telling the story about how he spread her cheeks, sucked on them, and then pushed his member inside. And now keep in mind, this lady, I'd put her at what, 60 maybe?
Yeah, about that.
Yeah, so think of your grandma telling that story to a bunch of kids, okay?
Well, yeah, exactly.
So we go back to the some room, I don't even know. And a boy and a girl are getting married. And then they're made to consummate their relationship. But before they can, they're yelled at for taking too long by the four men. And the... God, this is so rough. So the boy and the girl are yelled at for taking too long by the four men. And as... One of them comes up to the, was it the male, the boy or the girl? I don't remember what. I think it was the boy, wasn't it? Or no, so, it was the girl.
Was it?
Because he starts performing on her, starts performing fellatio, or cunnilingus.
Yeah.
Yeah, he starts performing on her. Not only is there going to be some disgusting language, there's also going to be some medically technical language.
just to kind of keep it a little more reserved.
Yeah. So the old man starts performing on the woman, or the girl, I should say. And as he's bent over, he's on his hands and knees. And then one of the other guys comes up behind the first guy, or actually, I guess this would be the second guy, the old man, pulls his pants down and starts to eat his ass. And then he butt fucks him.
There's no other way to say it. Honestly, this movie is like basically a porno.
Nothing like, I've ever seen. It's very
understandable that it was banned in so many countries.
Yeah. So, yeah. Story time again. This time the lady is made to act like a dog, and she's made to play fetch with another old pervert. And the guy that she's with is getting excited, and she explains how when she brought the ball or the toy or the stick or whatever back to the old man, he ended up finishing on her back. Now, as this old lady is telling the story, did you notice that all the boys were sitting on the girls as they were laying on the floor?
I did notice that, yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, you know, man, this movie could just not get any more twisted. But I mean, it goes a lot farther, but, you know. So, and then at this point, now all the kids are nude, and they're all forced to act like dogs and beg for food and bark and lick themselves and eat off the floor and eat out of bowls. And, you know, and one of the boy can't take it, so he gets up and run, like tries to escape, and he gets whipped by one of the other guys. And as this boy is getting whipped, one of the other four guys, the four main guys, is pushing like pins or nails or something into a piece of cake or bread or something. And she starts to eat the whatever it was, bread or cake, and her mouth starts bleeding and she starts whining. And then, you know, and then the scene cuts. Now we get to the real rough part, as if the first part wasn't rough. we are now at our second circle of hell, the circle of shit. Okay, here we go. So now we have a new storyteller, and she's explaining how she was made to shit, and feed her feces to an old man that was dressed as a baby. She explains how she was made to, like, dig her fingers into it and scoop it up and feed it to this old man, and he got off on that. As the old lady is telling the story, another girl cries out for her dead mom and for God to just kill her. Man alive. Here we go. As her punishment for calling out to God and interrupting the story, I believe it was the Duke, gets up and he takes a shit on the floor and then makes her eat it. Plain and simple. Gives her a spoon. He's yelling, manja, 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 which apparently means eat, eat, eat. So,
yeah.
Thank you, and Mark, again. Like, for...
Oh, man. I had to watch it, too.
So.
This scene, like, I almost threw up. Like, I was, like, actually gagging. Because it looks so real. Like, it actually looks like she's digging into a fucking log.
It did, yeah. I guess it was just some kind of sausage or something, or like chocolate. But regardless, it was freaking gross. So, yeah. Now we're back at story time.
Sorry.
So, yeah, now the storyteller is back again, and she's sharing a story of eating spoiled food to force diarrhea from everybody that was at the party. Man. One of the four, and I think this was the goofy-faced guy, goes into like a little side room to fondle himself in front of a mirror. And then he comes back in and he says that everybody present must do that. So basically eat bad food so they shit themselves or shit all over the place or whatever. All the kids that are left are now forced to save their shit into bowls and not clean their asses after they're done shitting.
And they go around and check all the bowls, too, like to make sure that there's some in there.
They did. And the one girl... So, yeah, everybody is forced to save their shit into, what are they called, chamber pots, I think?
Yeah.
And two of the guys, two of the old men, they go room to room between the boys and the girls, and they're asking the kids to show them the shit that they have saved. And then one of the boys, I believe, was found out to have cleaned his ass after he took a shit. So his book goes in the name, or I'm sorry, his name goes in the book for punishment later. Yeah. Now we're back in the dining room, or the dining hall. And, golly, the nude maids come back in, and they are pushing a giant cart, and on this cart is a giant platter of shit and diarrhea. And they go around serving everybody, and everybody, all the boys and the girls, and the four old men, and the guards are made to, they've got to eat the shit. I mean, plain and simple. They've got to eat it.
So disgusting.
That was the point for me where I was like, I don't know how much more of this I can watch, man. Because I'll do gore, I'll do blood, I'll do guts, I'll do, you know, viscera and just disgusting people getting their heads blown off. But when it comes to vomit and puke, or I'm sorry, puke and shit, that ain't my bag, baby.
Me either. So. And I was expecting this to be like more like gore and torture rather than like eating shit for torture.
Yeah. Boy, were you wrong.
I was very wrong. Yeah, I shut it off at this point. I was just like, I need to go to bed.
And yeah. I watched the rest of it later. That's right where I had to shut it off, was right where they came in. Yeah, because I don't remember why. I had something to do, but that was the same point I turned it off to until I finished it. So now one of the boys is made to cross-dress in a wedding gown. Kids barfing shit. I don't remember why I wrote that. Must have been because they were barfing, or some of the kids were barfing. So one of the boys was made to cross-dress in a wedding gown. Cross-dress in a wedding gown. And the kids start barfing up all the shit that they've been eating is what happened. So,
understandably.
Yeah, I, you know, couldn't do it. Could not do it. Now we're back at story time again. And the old Battle Axe is telling a story about how there was a man on his deathbed and he requests to have an ass in his face as he dies. So she comes in and apparently she just gets above him and basically just sits on his face. And then,
not a bad way to go out.
Well, I mean, you know, no, but under the circumstances, maybe not. So then apparently just having the girl sit on his face was not enough. So he had her shit on him as well, which she did. The Duke now is extremely turned on by this, and he pulls a girl into the other room where not only do we see a giant, I don't even know what you'd call it, like a giant oak barrel filled with feces and diarrhea and probably piss and vomit and everything else. But the girl that he pulled into the room with her, he actually had piss on his face. And at first she says, you know, I can't do it. I don't have to go. I can't do it. And then he says something to her. So she stands over him. She's laying on the floor. She stands over him and you just see like his face. And then you see a little trickle of pee all over his face. And he's like writhing in ecstasy, basically, that she's doing it. At this point, they decide to have an ass competition between the boys and the girls. So he had the four men have all the boys and the girls rounded up and put into one room, and they're bent over on all fours. So supposedly, they won't be able to tell whose ass is a boy's and whose ass is a girl's.
Which doesn't make any sense to me at all.
It does not make any sense. But yeah, they're bent over, so anonymity is held between, you know, like I said, each of the asses. And then they determine that the winner, whoever has the best ass, gets killed immediately. Which, you know, doesn't really make a lot of sense, but apparently, you know, these guys are all about torture and degrading anyway. So they start going around looking at all the asses that are basically up in the air, and they determine that, you know, one guy has the best ass or one girl has the best ass, and then they kind of go to the side and they, you know, let's talk about this a little bit. So they determine ultimately that a boy has the best ass. And as they're discussing, you know, or the reason for the anonymity was because if one of the four men has a proclivity to like a male's ass better than a female's ass, in other words, if he's homosexual, he'll tend to choose a male ass over a female ass. So the reason for the anonymity was to take that part away from it. So he couldn't deliberately choose a male ass instead of a female ass, is what I got out of it. I probably read too far into it, but...
No, that's what they mentioned, yeah.
Okay.
They said it'd be hard to sway them from, like, their own preference.
Okay. So they pick the ass. Turns out it's a guy. He gets held up and held by the guards. And they put a gun to his head, pull the trigger, and click. So, and they say something to the effect of, you know, why would we kill you so quickly when torture is so much more fun and can last for much longer, essentially.
Yeah.
So now, there's a wedding of sorts between three of the four. Is this where they're cross-dressed?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so we're in the circle of blood now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. So,
and yeah, they're all dressed up in like wedding gowns. Like,
okay.
Three of the men.
So three of the four dukes, bishops, presidents, whatever, are dressed up in evening gowns, and they get married to some of the older boys. And then I guess apparently for one of the honeymoons, one of the guards and one of the four men are having anal sex with each other. And apparently, I don't know, the dude's got a baby arm for a dick. So
yeah, it's a hammer.
The old man, this part I didn't understand, but anyway, he gets up and he leaves. And he goes to...
He says he has something to do.
Okay.
Like he has matters to attend to or something like that.
So, he goes to the boys' room. One of the boys wakes up real quick and he says he has a secret about one of the girls. And the secret is that this girl is hiding a picture of her boyfriend under her pillow. So, the old man goes to the girl and he calls her out on it. The girl says she has a secret about two other girls that are having a lesbian affair. So the old man goes to find them, or he goes to find them, and they're making out nude in a bed. And as he walks up to them, one of the two girls that's in the bed says they have a secret about Ezio, that he's been sleeping with one of the black maids. So,
everybody's just ratting everybody out at this point.
Yeah, so it's basically they're trying to save their own ass. So the first old man goes back to get the three other old men, and they bust in on Ezio and the black maid, and they just waste him with a hail of gunfire. And then one of the old men, I believe it was the Duke, walks up to the maid, puts the gun to her head, and pulls the trigger. And so they're both dead. Now we are back in a new story, still in the circle of blood. The story this time is about a rich man who has girls crap in his mouth, shit in his mouth, poop in his mouth, defecate in his mouth, and then he kicks them into a cellar to be tortured. It says the first girl is flayed to death on a wheel of razor blades or something like that. While this story is going on, the bad kids that had their names written in the book are forced to sit in the aforementioned half barrel of shit and vomit and urine and diarrhea that was kind of in the back room. So now...
Yeah.
Apparently, after they get done sitting in the shit, they're all taken outside. And they're tied up to stakes. They're tied to the ground, like spread eagle on all fours. And this is where the blood part comes into it. One boy gets his dick burned off with, or not burned off, but he gets his dick burned with a candle flame. One of the girls has her nipple burned with a candle flame. The piano player, which we should say the whole time the story is going on, or all the stories, there's, you know, calming piano music in the background. And the piano player's sitting right there listening to all these stories, but she's just not saying anything, not doing anything but playing the piano. She gets wind of what's going on with the torture and the, you know, the maimings and stuff. And she takes a peek out the window and says, "Fuck this, I'm out," and jumps out the window to her death. So
she waited long enough.
Yeah. Then they cut back to the torture scenes. One of the boys has his tongue cut out. One of the other girls is raped and then hung. Another girl is scalped. They all get whipped. One of the boys gets his nipples melted off with a hot iron that just came out of the fire pit. And then, as all this is happening, two of the boys that were the guards, they change the music on the station or on the radio. And one boy asks the other one if he knows how to dance. The other kid says no, so they get up and they start pirouetting around the room, dancing, holding each other closely and tightly. And then the credits roll. Thank God they roll, because I could not take any more of that movie. You know, now this movie is on is a Criterion collection movie.
Yeah.
I've only got one Criterion movie, and that's Videodrome. But I can't, I don't see how. I don't see how. I don't know. I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
I mean, is it supposed to be a statement? Is it supposed to be, you got kids in the background?
Yeah, that's my baby crying. Sorry.
That's fine. So I just, yeah, I don't know, man. It's like, is it supposed to be a statement against fascism or like the excess of, you know, like what's going on? Or, I mean, because this movie was made in 75 and, you know, the fall of Italy was in like the 40s.
Yeah. But I think like I was thinking about this after I finished the movie, like movies like this one and like a Serbian film, which was the movie that I didn't want to talk about. The directors, like, they both make statements saying, like, oh, like, I made this movie as, like, a, like, what you said, like, as a statement for whatever's going on in right. their respective countries. But, like, I feel like that's just, I don't know, like, they're just blowing smoke at their ass.
Like a bullshit
excuse. Like, I feel like they're just fucked in the head, and they just wanted to make this movie and then say, oh, I was making a statement.
Right.
Like, no, you're just fucking sick. That's it.
Well, and I see exactly what you're saying. It's like they're using how fucked up it is as an excuse to say, well, you know, this is an example of how our country is, or this is an example of how our state is, or something like that. But really, they're just twisted heaps of blood and goop, and, you know, they want to make a fucked up film.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, but it's like, you know, this movie came out 30 years after the end of World War II, and I can't see how this could hold any bearing on, you know, anything that happened that long ago in the past.
Yeah.
You know, now, if Pasolini just wanted to make a movie about the Marquis de Sade's writings, or, you know, Dante's Seven Rings of Hell, or whatever the book was, the Divine mm-hmm. Comedy... You know, then why not just make that? Why not just say, you know, listen, I want to make a fucked up movie about this Marquis de Sade dude because he was a twisted piece of shit. Or, you know, Dante's Inferno or the Divine Comedy or whatever, you know, that is some twisted writing. We should make a movie about this. But instead to try and justify it by saying, well, this is a, you know, this is a study on fascism and consumerism and whatever, you know, fuck out, you know, bullshit, whatever. So, okay. So now's when we break down the gore score, which is a culmination of the gore and violence in the movie. I do my scores out of 10. So what would you put this on the gore score, sir?
Are we talking just like blood and guts kind of gore? Or are we talking like the piss and shit and puke and all that stuff too?
Well, I think in the case of this movie, an exception needs to be made. Generally, it's just gore and violence.
Yeah.
I think you know, because Evil Dead 13 would be a 10 on my scale. Okay.
Yeah.
But I think because of the type of movie this is, if you just... Did somebody fall down the stairs?
Jesus Christ, I don't know what that was.
That's okay, man, dude. I have to yell at my kids or my dogs like 30 times a day, and even more when I'm recording.
Normally when we record, the kids are in bed, so.
Oh, okay. But, no, so I think an exception needs to be made for this movie. So, yeah, I mean, go ahead and gore, violence, and excrement.
10. 10 out of 10. 11 out of 10.
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
We're talking just like blood and like actual gore, I'd probably give it like maybe a 6 just because it only happens really at the end. But yeah, it is like a lot of it, but yeah, adding in all that other shit.
I would put it lower than that even on the gore score if we're just talking blood and violence. Now it does get kind of violent, I mean, you know, with the rapes and stuff like that, but yeah, you know, as far as like the gore score, if we're just talking gore and violence, I would put it at maybe a 3.
Yeah.
But yeah, if we're including the poo in it, It's definitely, like you said, a 10 out of 10 or an 11 out of 10. Okay, and now overall, plot, you know, story, acting, characters, overall out of 10, what would you give it?
Honestly, man, like a 1.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It made no sense at all. It was just like a mess that was all kind of put together into an hour and 50 minutes or whatever.
Yeah, I can't find any redeeming qualities in this movie.
Me either. Like, I don't get it.
I mean, even though there was a lot of female nudity, it does not redeem this movie.
No, it doesn't. Because it's like you're not attracted to it. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Because there's always like there's that undertone of like the rape of the feces and the piss and everything like that. Like, it's not attractive nudity.
It's not fun at all.
Yeah, no, not at all.
It's not...
And I was looking through like the Wikipedia page for this one, and I know it's not always the most reliable source, but
yeah,
if you look at the cast list, it has like the actors that play each of the four dudes, like the Duke, the Bishop, the Magistrate, and the President. And then it also says... like for the Duke, let's just say as an example, it says Giancarlo Vigorelli provides his voice. So I noticed during the movie that like some of the audio didn't line up with the like with the actions of them speaking.
Yeah, there was I did notice that too. Did you see who did the music though?
No.
It was Ennio Morricone. The guy who just died, he did the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. He's an extremely famous composer and
okay.
Songwriter. But yeah, he just died like last month, I believe it was. But
really?
Yeah, Ennio, or it's Ennio Morricone, something like that. But yeah, he's very famous. But yeah, he did the music for this, and apparently he was friends with Pasolini, only did it because he was friends, not because he liked the movie.
Yeah, I did read that actually.
Yeah. So
it's like they had like actual actors, but then they had voice actors like for the post-production. I don't know. Like, I don't understand. Like, why would these guys not just voice or like speak during the movie?
I think because in 75, a lot of it, because they didn't use like the boom mics and stuff like that, like we do now.
Yeah, fair enough.
They just recorded the audio afterwards.
Yeah.
And put it over, you know, what was there. But speaking of actors, why would anyone in their right mind sign up to do a movie like this? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I have no
like,
idea.
How desperate do you have to be to make a movie about eating poo?
Yeah.
You know?
I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't know, man. So, yeah, it's gross, dude. Fuck you for making me watch this. I say that with all the love in my heart, but fuck you.
I'm with you. Fuck me.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this one takes the cake, man. You may have just won.
The prize.
Yeah. You've taken the vile and disgusting movie. You know, we did Serbian Film a while ago, and it hasn't been released as of this recording yet, but I didn't have even as much trouble with that. And, I mean, like, I could watch all the movie, but... At the same time, I'm sitting here, you know, and I got it on, and I'm looking at it, and I'm going, holy shit, what the fuck, you know? Like, this is not, you know, art. Like, this, it doesn't make sense to me.
No, it doesn't. It didn't make it to me either.
Yeah, so that's going to wrap it up for today, Goreheads. Like I said, Mark... I think he won the most vile and disgusting movie choice. I'm sure there's something else out there. If you have a suggestion that's even more disgusting than this, yeah, drop me a line. DM me on Instagram. But yeah, you know, I mean, Damn, dude. Yeah. Congratulations on making me go, ugh.
The one time I don't want to win something.
Yeah, right. But yeah, shout out your podcast again before we get out of here, man.
All right. So once again, I'm Mark from A Podcast on Elm Street. We're obviously a horror movie review podcast. Each week we pick a different movie, discuss it at length. There's some extra segments in there that we do just for fun as well. Yeah, you can find us on Instagram at A Podcast on Elm Street, underscores between each word, and we're on all major podcasting platforms. So give us a listen.
Sounds groovy, dude. Yeah, and you know, I mean, obviously, if you're listening to this, you can find us on same thing: Apple, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio. I think we're on CastBox and probably 6 or 7 other ones. But you know, we are at XHR_podcast on Instagram, Horror Replay on Twitter. And screw Facebook. I need to just delete that page. But yeah, you know, if you got any questions, comments, concerns, shoot me a line, drop us a DM on Instagram. If you want to rate and review either our podcast or Podcast on Elm Street, I know you can do that on Apple Podcast or on Stitcher. So please, you know, reach out to us, leave a review, leave a rating, and you know, I think that's it for now, man. Like I said, Mark, congratulations. You take the cake for the most disgusting movie I've seen in a long ass time. go yippee. Ahead. Yeah, yippee. go ahead, be good to each other, and we will talk to you all later. Mark, thank you, sir, for coming on.
Oh, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
And we...
Maybe next time we can do a movie that... that we both enjoy.
Yeah. I'm gonna, you know, if I ever come on your show, you guys are in trouble.
Shit.
So, all right. And we are out.